Blog Talk Radio.
Sugar on Faith-Based Purpose, and we welcome you to another segment with our host, Reverend Roosevelt Williams and Evangelist Patricia Williams, whom we will bring on shortly. We would like to remind you that we understand that you might not believe that God is Lord, and we are not asking you to change your beliefs. We believe that God is Lord, and that his radical and unconditional, never-changing love for us will see us through anything. And we're only asking you to keep an open mind, bring your notebooks, take notes, make note of the scriptures that are shared with you and some of the statements and comments that are given to you, and go back and read it and study it for yourself. We're going to bring Evangelist Patricia Williams on so that she can share a word with us today. Hello, Evangelist Williams. How are you?
I'm blessed this evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good.
I hear that you have an awesome word to share with us today.
Well, I just hope that it will touch somebody's life. I'd like to share. And I just thank God for the word. Are you ready for me to begin?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to share your word with your people. We pray, God, that your word will be gracefully received, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, and it is so. Amen. Hey, Father, forgive my voice. We had family and friends day on yesterday, and of course, one of Jesus' cheerleaders. I have to yell as loud as I can. my voice is just a little straggle here, but I hope that I can speak plain enough that you will understand. And Miss Sugar, I thank God for the song that you played to bring us on. It's a true thing that we might say it's time to stop playing church and live it.
Yes.
All right, I'm not going to mess with that. I don't know what topic this evening is from the Sunday school lesson on yesterday, where I had an opportunity, because I'm the Sunday school superintendent, to review. So I'm going to do my best to share just a little bit of it with you. And
I'm sure you'll do it.
Because I know that Reverend Williams is probably on, and Minister John, and whoever else. But anyway, community of confession. And the scripture, I'm just going to read St. Luke 15, 1 through 10. And you all would like to follow me. You follow me in your James Version. I think that will be what most everybody has. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise ye shall be, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And verse 10 is the final one. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, oftentimes in our community and world of confession, we overlook how much joy it is supposed to bring when one person forsakes their ways or their sins and confesses and be reborn and come to Jesus. This is what he died for in Matthew 1 and 21, that we might be saved. So I find it very necessary in our life today that we rejoice when people repent and come to Christ. Now, I'm just not talking about shaking the preacher's hands, which some of us go through that. Amen. But I'm talking about really forsaking your ways and coming to the realization that there is yet room at the cross for you. And it's a marvelous thing. And I can just imagine, because I know that I was once wretched and undone and really needed to confess a lot of things and turn. But when that day happened, the angels was rejoicing, but I found rejoicing too, that the Lord Jesus forgave me for my sins and caused me to live a new life that I strive daily to live right now, over 37 years ago. So I know it's not too hard to do. We broke down community. A lot of times people think that community is talking about the little surrounding area of the houses to the right, left, front, and back of you, which is a community. But let's look at it a different way this evening. Let's say that our body, since our body has many members, and in a community, many people, some small, some big, some large, but a community is more than just one person. So let's say that our body today is a community. We have many members, just still one body. So a community is a group. So let's say that our body is a community. When our body lines up with the word, let's say Patricia Williams Community Today found a need to confess all the things that was going wrong, that was evil continually, and it was not right in me. See, we often point fingers around in the community setting, but we lack in one thing. We lack in pointing the finger at the real community, which is us. You know, I can always see faults in you. I can always see fault in them. I can always see fault and find fault in others. But when it comes down to me and my bag of faults, I want it to be necessary that the Lord would often look over the evilness and the wrongdoings. And this is the same thing that the people were doing in Nehemiah and Ezra's days. They were evil continually, and it was in their hearts. See, if our heart lined up according to the word of God, get your own community in order. If I line my community up with the word of God, I might be able then to reach my neighbors and spread out in the community world and help somebody. But it's not beneficial for my community not to be in order. And I'm always trying to get somebody else's in order. We do that often in our church world, in our church setting. We often want to line somebody else up, and we'll point our fingers and we'll say, the Bible said, thou shalt not lie. And we are one of the biggest liars living. The Bible said, thou shalt not steal. These things will send you to hell. But what about lining our own self up with the word of God first? I found that when I began to see tunnel vision in the word of God. In other words, look straight the word for what it is and what it means and what it stands for. When I began to line my own self up in the word of God, I found that the confessions that I needed to make was necessary for me to stay and keep my walk clean. That's what I began to do. I began to look in the mirror and not look, and in a few minutes walk away from the mirror and forget what I just saw. I kind of got tired of stumbling and falling over the same thing. See, we find that necessary that we, when we fall down, confess, repent, pick up, start back walking again, we ought not to fall over that same thing. And if we get delivered of it, we won't keep stumbling over the same thing. So we have to be very mindful that the word of God in the old Bible still stands true. is the foundation that we stand on right now. In Nehemiah 9, verse 2, it says, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers." They stood and confessed their own sins. We don't need to miss the good point of our own self in this lesson. And a lot of times we'll say, "That was back then." Well, I encourage you, it's right now too. It's right now too. People will follow us if they see that we're walking straight and going somewhere. But a lot of times we take a lot of unnecessary detours in this walk. We take a lot of unnecessary detours, stopping and looking and chattering and gossiping and wavering and weaving and bending and just doing unnecessary stuff. But the first thing that they done was separate themselves from the strangers and stood and confessed their own sins. Skips down to verse 6. "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee." The host of heaven worship thee. When we confess our sins and get on straight street and get our mind geared towards heavenly things, we can worship God for who he really is. We can praise him and appreciate him for the things that he's already done, the things that he established in the earth. They still stand. They'll be standing until we start messing with them. You know, we tear up more than we can fix. But in this last hour, confession is so necessary. Realizing that we are not 100% right about everything is very necessary. In verse 7, "Thou art the Lord, the God, whom didst choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and giveth him the name of Abraham." See, God did all that. We want to take credit for some of the things that was already established when we got here. We want to say we did a lot of stuff. But compared to what God has done and compared to what God is still doing, we can't take credit for nothing. But it's one thing we can do. We can confess from our heart so that he can keep us with our minds ever stayed on him. And the word will be free in our hearts and our spirits. Verse 9 said, "And did he see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and hears their cry by the Red Sea." See, God still hear our cry. He hear their cry by the Red Sea. Amen. He opened up and swallowed the enemies. He still hear our cry today. Sometimes folks said the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. He still hear our cry on today if we just confess our sins and cry for real. Verse 10 says, "And show signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land. For thou knowest that thou dwelt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is today." His name is Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, our King of Kings, our Lord. We didn't have nothing to do with none of that. That's still his name. We just need to be found confessing our wrongdoings so that we can really worship him for who he is. Skip down to verse 30 through 36. And I'll soon be finished. "Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifies against them by thy spirit in thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands." See, he'll give us over to our enemy right now if we don't worship him like we're supposed to. "Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. For thou art a gracious and merciful God. There go two more of his names and characteristics. He's gracious even today, and he's very merciful. Verse 32 says, "Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem new before thee that has come upon us, on our kings, our princesses, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and all our people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit thou art just in all that thou brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly." See, it's not him that have done the wrong things that need to be confessed of. It's us.
That's
and
right.
This is like a prayer of repentance. I cry out to God for real to forgive us, because you're a merciful God. And that's just what he does. I have two reference scriptures. I'm not going to read them, though. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13.
We have time for you to read them now.
1 through 4. You want us to read them?
Sure. Samuel 12.
And 2 Samuel 12 and 13.
Okay.
That's the story of I got it right here. Okay, Samuel. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13 says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sins. Thou shalt not die." We know the story of David and Bathsheba, how he had her husband kill Uriah, laid with her and more son. He messed up. Some of us are doing the same things. But Prophet Nathan told David, God is merciful. He's a forgiving God. He's already forgiven you. But guess what? David had to confess that thing. See, a lot of us just need to confess. We just need to confess and know that we're forgiven and move on. Okay? Psalms 51, 1 through 4. And I like this. We often have to pray. Often have to pray and get our confession clear. And then we can move on. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee alone have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." See, David had to get that thing straight. Nobody can get our sin straight but us. You know, all folks used to say, "Hey, nobody tell it better than I can. You know what you've done. Confess it." And know that God is a forgiving and a merciful God. And he honors our prayer. I often hear people say, "God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer." Well, I have news for you. I was a sinner, and he heard me pray, and he saved me. I'm saved by grace, and I was a sinner when I prayed. I was a sinner, and I was a messed up sinner. I'll continue with verse 34. "Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our father kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies, wherewith thou didst testify against them." Verse 35 says, "For they have not stirred thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turneth they from their wicked ways." Verse 36 and the final one says, "Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our father to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. We need to confess today. And we need to know that the Lord will forgive us and restore us. Just as he did Israel, he'll do it for us. He's a merciful God. One of his names is mercy. I mean, how many times have we really had to just cry out to God for real? And we know we were the one guilty. We messed up. He didn't mess up. He came to give us a way out. And even sometimes as we accept the way out, we turn back and go back like a dog to his vomit and a hog to the mud. And God still yet has his hands outstretched, waiting on us to confess, waiting on us to repent. The blood still works. His grace is still sufficient. And he's yet standing waiting to help us. We just need to confess and repent. Turn our wicked ways and not just continue in our sin. Romans says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God, yet forbid. We're going to have to come out of our sins, forsake them, leave them alone, and walk in righteousness. We can do it. We can do it. I heard a message on Friday night. The man of God was describing how wretched and undone he was. He said, 24 hours a day, if I could stay awake, when I was an alcoholic, I would drink. I would lie, cheat, do whatever. He said, now I know what I'm supposed to do. When I come to the house of God, I come in with the praise. I'm not required to do it 24 hours a day. But if I had to, since I'm a new creature, if that's what he requires for me to stay free, then that's what I'll do. Because we was bound by sin. We did whatever it required of us to keep that sin facade. Everybody knew you was a sinner. Because if you was a cusser, they crossed you. You gave them a good cussing. If you was an alcoholic, you drink out the bottle. I don't care how many lips got on the bottle. If it was an alcoholic, you grab it. When it comes to whoremongering, chasing men or women, committing adultery and fornication, lying, stealing, fighting, whatever it took for us to be a good sinner, we were that. So I endeavor in my heart today to be a good saint, a Christian, or whatever you want to call it. But the world needs to know if we are new creatures in Christ, we need to profess it, confess it, manifest it, and live it with all that we have. Because truly, Jesus is soon to come, and he's coming back after church, which is us, without a spot, a wrinkle, a blemish, or any such thing. We're going to have to be ready for his return. So I encourage the hearts of God's people today. Let's prepare for his coming, because he's already on his way. He just haven't arrived for us yet, but he's on his way. God bless you. And I hope that I said something that would give you a thought this evening.
Amen. Well, I enjoyed that. And that actually came at a good time, Evangelist Williams. It actually came at a good time. I will discuss it with you off the air. Reverend Williams, I know you're there. And Minister Regina, I know you're there. What I would like to do is play a song and come back and have Reverend Williams share something with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Sometimes I think about the things you have done for me. How you washed away all my sins, set my spirit free. Then I look back on my life
Something. Okay, I think it just stopped. I was hearing some noise in the background, but it just stopped. Boy, that song speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks volumes.
Amen.
Oh my gosh, Reverend Williams.
Yeah, I
truly enjoyed that word from Evangelist Williams, as I'm sure the listeners have. But would you like to share something with us this evening?
Yeah, amen. Good evening, everybody. First off, how y'all doing?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was in this week. I pray that you had a great week. I pray that everything on last Thursday was a blessing to everybody.
Well, you forgive me, Reverend Williams. I was praying for a young lady who had just had a baby, and that's why I couldn't tune in with you. But I heard that awesome.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
As we looking tonight, she was coming out of a community of confession, and one thing I had to agree with her. But if we look at some things I saw in the book of Nehemiah when it's talking about in chapter 9, it was that when the people had heard and when they had saw how their grandparents in that chapter, how their parents and grandparents had, their fathers had messed up, you know, sometimes we have to stop and recognize when those of our late parents or grandparents and even people around us, when our church family, when our church, when we recognize how they messed up, there comes a time for us to go into prayer. You see, and it says that the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. And the thing is, when you look at fasting, it's saying putting aside, putting away things, and they fasted. And when they began their fast, they did with sackcloth. And then it says, and the seed of Israel separated themselves. A community is not talking about the neighborhood community. It's talking about when you come together in your church. There comes a time that we need to separate ourselves from the world. There comes a time when we need to do a lock-in and go into a fast and separating ourselves and looking at ourselves as a church and as a whole and as a people of God, as not what others are doing, but what are we doing for the Lord? What are we doing in Jesus' name? What are some things about us, you see? And the thing is, to go into a fast of separating ourselves from the world and other things that surround us, to get ourselves totally concentrating on Him. And God wants us to be a community of believers, that we walk in the way that Jesus has set the tone for us. And I thank God for what Jesus done for us up on Calvary. Because the thing is, although He went on the cross, although we in the New Testament, if you really look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll find that nothing has changed. It's just Jesus made it better by His dying on the cross, that no more of those laws are there. But when you look at the things that they're doing, there's a difference between what they were doing and law. Now, what they were doing was showing their reverence to God by putting on sackcloth. And what we need to ask ourselves, how much do we reverence God in our life? So I ask everybody that, as the minister taught, what are we doing in our lives to reverence God and to have a close relationship with the Lord in our lives? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So I thank you, sister, for a great lesson. I had a chance to be listening to. I pray that God continue to bless you, bless the show, bless each and every one of us. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Okay, again, Evangelist Williams, I do thank you so much for that. And Reverend Williams, I thank you for joining us this evening. And also, Minister Regina, thank you for always being a loyal supporter and listening.
I'm
okay. And
okay.
Evangelist Williams, do you have anything going on this week that you would like to let the listeners know of?
Just a little bit late back. We quad coming up in September. Anyone in the Dallas area on September from 11 to 3, we're having our own association church Florida come together. We're having a fish fry and they have a wonderful fellowship, and we're going to be trying to win clothes and everything while we're feeding folk fish. Amen. So if anybody's in the Dallas area on the 7th of September at our Father's House, that's 6859 Southampton Road in Dallas, Texas, you're welcome to come by and join us.
Amen. Reverend Williams, do you have anything that you would like to announce?
Well, I just ask for everybody to pray for me, keep me in your prayers while I meditate on. It's a month from now, but I will be preaching on the fourth Sunday of next month. But I am setting myself in prayer for their time. Also aside a lot of things for their time. I'm just asking for y'all to pray for me for health and strength. But also, I'd like to invite those of you who are in the Houston area to come by the Blessed Hope Missionary Baptist Church. We are located at 3741 Colvin Street in Houston, Texas. And you're always welcome. Our services from 10, from our Sunday school is from 9 till 10. And then our services goes from 10:30 until we get through praising the Lord. So
Amen.
We invite everyone who is listening and anyone who has desire to come by and to share with you the Word of God and to worship with us in the Word of God. And so I just say to each of you all, God bless you and keep
you. God bless you, everyone.
Amen.
Okay. Now, next Monday, Evangelist Williams, will we be speaking on the from the same books, or is it okay to move on to another topic?
You know, it's okay. If anyone has any topics or anything they would like discussed, you know, if they'll just let us know, we'll be glad to try to do whatever we can to enlighten you in the Word of God.
Well, I would like, if at all possible, for you know, the discussion to be on the structure of Satan's kingdom.
Okay.
On the structure of Satan's kingdom.
Okay. All right. Amen.
I heard a message on that, and it was very enlightening, and I think it would be something that, well, it's absolutely something that I think everyone needs to know about. And I'm sure that the faith-based ministry can do a good job on this.
Okay. And that's the 19th.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, Kevin Williams, let's try to touch bases this week with each other.
Okay, that'll be fine.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, are you saying something, Reverend Williams?
My structure of faith in the kingdom.
Excuse me?
You say the structure of faith in the kingdom, right?
No. The structure of Satan's kingdom.
Oh.
The structure, right?
The structure of Satan's kingdom.
Oh, his kingdom is destroyed.
The structure of Satan's kingdom. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
I got you. Okay, then. All right.
And Reverend Williams, we're going to try to figure out, since they're building it so well, they think how we can tear it down, okay?
you gotta share on them how to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Destructive Satan kingdom. Oh yeah. Okay. Mm.
Okay.
Well,
I think that'll be easy to do. And I guess to take away some of the confusion, some of the things that were shared with us, and we're continuing with this lesson. At our services also is learning the weapons, the works, the weapons, the workers, and the ways of Satan, and those under Satan's ruling.
Yeah, right.
So those are some of the things that, you know, we've been discussing, and I think that you know, it was great hearing what we were taught, and as I said, mm-hmm. I think that the listeners could benefit from that, because there is structure in Satan's kingdom, just as there is structure in our Lord's kingdom. So I think that's something that would definitely benefit many.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, then.
Work on.
All right. Well, everyone have a good evening. I know this was a short session, but it got the message across.
Okay. Amen. All right. Have a blessed evening.
All right.
Have a blessed
evening. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how much more I can take. See, I decided that I cried my last tears yesterday. Either I'm gonna trust you, or I may as well walk away. For stressing don't make it better. Don't make it better, no way. See, I decided.